Welcome to episode 1452 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We are in the midst of a series on the life and times of the apostles. Our focus this week is on the Apostle Peter. In our last episode, Peter stood beside a charcoal fire on the shores of Galilee and experienced the restoring grace of the risen Christ, hearing once again the call to follow him and care for his people. Today, we come to the fulfillment of a promise Jesus had made repeatedly, a day when fearful disciples become bold witnesses, when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon God's people, and when a Galilean fisherman finds himself standing before thousands proclaiming the Lordship of Christ.
Before I tell you about Pentecost, I need to tell you what happened in the 50 days between the resurrection and that morning. He had ascended, 40 days of appearances, teaching, explaining, opening the scriptures to us in ways that made us feel like men who had been reading a map upside down for years and had finally turned it right.
The world believes forgiveness belongs to the strong when they choose to show mercy. The kingdom knows forgiveness belongs to the wounded. As the Father forgave you, forgive one another.
And then, on the Mount of Olives, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of our sight. Two men in white appeared and told us he would return the same way. Yes, two angels. We went back to Jerusalem and we waited. 120 of us gathered in the upper room, praying together, choosing a replacement for Judas, living in the tension between what we had seen and what we had been told to wait for. He had promised the Holy Spirit. He had told us to stay in the city until we were clothed with power from on high. I had learned slowly to take his promises more seriously than my own expectations. We waited. Days after Passover, the feast that commemorated the giving of the law at Sinai, Jerusalem was packed with Jewish pilgrims from every corner of the diaspora. People had come from Parthia and Media, from Mesopotamia and Cappadocia, from Egypt and Libya and Rome, from Crete and Arabia. The city was loud with a dozen languages. We were gathered in one place when it happened. The sound came first, like a rushing violent wind. But not wind. It filled the whole house. And then what appeared to be tongues of fire came to rest on each of us. Not burning, resting, distributed, one for each person in the room. And we began to speak in other languages. I want to be careful here because this is the part people most want me to explain. And I cannot explain it. I can tell you what it felt like a door opening in the chest. Like a language you did not know you knew suddenly available to you, like the words finding their own way out without requiring your assistance. The crowd outside heard their own native languages being spoken by Galileans who had no business knowing them. Some people in the crowd said we were drunk. It was 9 a.m, so I stood up. Not just physically. I want you to sit with that for a moment. Me, Simon, the son of John. Cephas. Peter. I stood up. The man who could not answer a servant girl's question in a courtyard now stood in front of thousands of people in the city that had crucified my rabbi 7 weeks earlier. I have thought about what changed. I know the theological answer, the Holy Spirit. And that is true. That is the complete answer. But I can also tell you what it felt like from the inside. It felt like being inhabited, like the presence that had breathed on us in the locked room had now settled permanently into the room of the self. Fear was still present. I am not sure fear ever entirely leaves, but it had been relocated. It was still there, somewhere in the house, but it was no longer standing at the door. I stood up there in Jerusalem, in the courts and porticos of the temple complex. I spoke for a long time. I told the people gathered there about Jesus of Nazareth, what he had done, what they had done to him, what God had done in response. I told them he had fulfilled the promise of the prophet Joel, that God would pour out his spirit on all people. I told them David himself had foreseen his resurrection. I told them what the empty tomb and the appearances meant. And then I said the thing that I had not been able to say in a courtyard, the thing that the servant girl's question had undone in me. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Whom you crucified, said to the city that had done it, said publicly, said without a sword or a crowd at my back, without anything protecting me except the truth of what I was saying and the presence that was now living in me. Something happened to the crowd. You could feel it. Not as a preacher's vanity, not as the satisfaction of a performance going well, but as a genuine change in the atmosphere of the place. The mocking quieted. People began to listen with a different kind of attention. And then the question began to move through the crowd like a current.
Brothers, what shall we do?
Tell us, what shall we do?
What must we do?
I had an answer. I had learned from the best teacher who ever lived, and I had the Spirit of God within me, and I had 3,000 people asking me the most important question a human being can ask. And I answered it the way he had always taught me, directly, without hedging, without making it more complicated than it was. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. 3,000 people were baptized that day. 3,000. I count them the way I once counted baskets of leftover bread, because some numbers are too significant to leave imprecise, and because counting is the way a fisherman expresses awe. The church was born, not from the top down, not from a palace or a throne or a seat of established power, from a room, from a sound like wind, from fire that did not burn, from a Galilean fisherman who had once stood at a courtyard fire and sworn 3 times he did not know the man, and who now stood in the street and told 3,000 people exactly who the man was. People speak of Pentecost as a birthday, the birthday of the church. That is right. But birthdays are only remarkable in light of what comes after. What came after was a community unlike anything the ancient world had seen. People from every background sharing what they had, caring for one another across the lines that normally divided human beings, drawing attention not by what they claimed, but by how they lived. And I was at the center of it, Simon Bar Jonah, the fisherman from Bethsaida, the man who fell asleep in Gethsemane and swung a sword at the wrong person and denied his Lord 3 times before dawn. None of that had been erased. The courtyard was still in my memory, perfectly preserved. But it no longer had the last word. It was a chapter, a terrible, necessary chapter, in a story that was still being written. That is what grace does. Not erase, reframe. It takes the worst chapter and shows you how even that was being used, how the breaking was making room for something that could not have been built in an unbroken man. The rock. Finally, on this day, I began to understand what he had meant.
Pentecost reminds us that God rarely chooses the people we would expect to change the world. Peter was not naturally fearless. He was not flawless, eloquent, or uniquely qualified. He was a man who had failed publicly and painfully. Yet when the Holy Spirit filled him, his weakness no longer defined him. The same Peter who once denied Jesus became a courageous witness because God's power had taken residence within him. That is the hope of Pentecost. God does not merely forgive us and send us on our way. He dwells within us, empowering ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. The question is not whether we are sufficient for the task before us. The question is whether we are willing to be filled and led by the Spirit who makes all things possible. To be continued.